This piece was brought to you by Fairway Market, fairwaymarket.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business.
More of the United States territory lies below ocean water than above. According to Brent Smith, farmer, founder, and owner of Thimble Island Oysters, the sea's fertility boasts zero-input solutions for issues of food security, energy production, and climate change. Compare this with land-based food production, which uses 70% of the world's fresh water, petroleum-based fertilizers, herbicides, and a tremendous amount of oil. Oysters, kelp, and mussels don't require any inputs. In fact, they help sequester carbon and nitrogen available in the ocean. There's no better way to understand Bren's work than to join him on his boat while he checks on his 3D oyster cages and kelp ropes.
So my name is Bren Smith, and I'm the owner of Thimble Island Oyster Company. And at age 14, I dropped out of high school and headed out to sea. I fished all over the place, fished up in Gloucester, up in Newfoundland, in the Bering Sea. And it was the height of sort of rape and pillage fisheries. I was actually fishing for McDonald's. We were pulling up entire ecosystems with our trawls, fishing in illegal waters. And really it was a time of chasing sort of fewer and fewer fish further and further out to sea. And while I was out there, I loved it. I loved the work, 30, 40-hour shifts, months at a time. Sort of all the other men and women on the boat, there's such camaraderie, and it's really rewarding to sort of that feeling of helping feed the country and sort of chasing and hunting things. While I was out on the Bering Sea, the cod stocks crashed back in my home in Newfoundland where I was born. And, you know, thousands of fishermen thrown out of work, boats beached, entire communities just disappeared overnight, really. And a whole generation of us then went to start doing aquaculture because that was supposed to be the answer to reduce pressure on fish stocks and actually grow fish. But aquaculture was just more of the same, just using new technologies. We're polluting local waters, growing what I don't even consider food at this point, terrible quality, terrible tasting food. And so that was very disillusioning for a whole young generation of us, I think.
It's a story of like total environmental destruction and then no good jobs and opportunity. And so the second biggest city of Newfoundlanders is outside of Newfoundland. There's St. John's, and then the other one is in the tar sands. So you actually have all these fishermen that actually have an environmental consciousness then being forced to go to the tar sands to produce something that's killing the oceans. You know, it's like heartbreaking in its own way. So they're all there, everyone. They came and asked for 100,000 Newfoundlanders, working age Newfoundlanders, to come to the tar sand. And they're great jobs. You know, everybody says they're bad jobs. You know, they're making $20,000 a year and stuff.
Bren began farming in Long Island Sound amidst the Thimble Islands in 2002. He first started with oysters, then began adding more species that shared the oyster's restorative traits.
So my oysters started that way, but what I learned over time, what they taught me was that how can we take Mother Nature's technologies, things that she invented millions of years ago, and use them to mitigate our harm? What's wonderful about oysters and sort of what they taught me over time was they're these restorative species. So they filter 30 to 50 gallons of water a day, pulling nitrogen out of the water column. Nitrogen runoff is one of the huge problems we have with it, you know, creating dead zones literally around the globe. And then the farm itself, the cages, but also all the other things I'm growing, it creates an ecosystem, artificial ecosystem, that just attracts all these fish and other organisms that come to hide and to feed. And so you'll find on my farm, you go 100 yards away and you really, it's a dead zone. You know, it's a barren patch of ocean. And then you come to my farm and it's the most productive ecosystem in the area. You have great birds, seals, fish, and some of the best fishing in the whole area is now on my farm. So the farm itself, you begin looking at it, the oysters pull nitrogen. The kelp is called the rainforest of the sea. It pulls five times more carbon than land-based plants. Same with mussels are really powerful remediators. But they're also all, these are packed with all these nutrients. So mussels are really high in omega-3s. The seaweeds are incredible. They've got more iron than red meat, more calcium than milk, more vitamin C than citrus fruits. So what we're beginning to see is, can we carve out a section of the ocean dinner plate to just eat these species and actually reduce pressure on fish stocks? And I think the sea vegetables, what I'm calling sea greens, have the most potential. So on the farm in a 300 foot by 300 foot area, I'm able to grow 26 tons of kelp in 5 months. It's incredible volume. If you were to take a network of farms totaling the size of Washington State, you can actually feed the world.
The production is impressive. Because Brent is creating diversity on his farm, between the oysters, mussels, scallops, clams, and kelp, he is fostering more biodiversity as other ocean dwellers come to feed.
I can grow about 500,000 shellfish in this same area using the same gear all at once. And this model is, it's the only model like this in the country. And the idea is, how do you take 20 acres and grow as many restorative species? So we do mussels, clams, oysters, kelp, gracilaria, and salt. You can actually produce enough food to feed the world. The scale is stunning. Can we actually carve out a section of the dinner plate for ocean vegetarianism while reducing pressure on fish stocks and actually reducing pressure for beef and things like that, which are, you know, just so climate destroying?
Ocean vegetarianism is based on kelp and seaweeds, what Bren refers to as sea greens. They are nutrient-packed and incredibly versatile. For Bren, it's about carving out a slice of the dinner plate for more sea veggies and less sea creatures. Bren has been working with chefs on kelp applications in noodles, butter, ice cream, and salt. His team is exploring kelp as a foundational element in New England cuisine.
So this food here, I guarantee we will be eating it in 30 to 50 years because it will be the cheapest food on the planet because it takes no cost to grow it. That's why I can run this for $10,000.
According to Bren, there are also very real implications for using kelp as a zero-input renewable energy source.
So a network of farms totaling half the size of Maine can replace all the oil in the United States. I can grow per acre 2,000 gallons of biofuel. And remember, the biofuel is zero inputs, so it's totally sustainable.
Bren has identified the potential for us to revision Northeastern cuisine to reflect what is native, naturally bountiful, and has the ability to support both economy and environmental abundance.
Can we imagine some sort of ocean vegetarianism that, again, reduces pressure on fish stocks, but is also sequestering carbon, nitrogen, and has all these other uses?
Keep an eye out for the book Bren is currently writing, titled Eat Like a Fish, Ocean Vegetarianism to Save Our Seas and Ourselves. And for more information, visit ThimbleIslandOysters.com. This is Laura Del Campo, reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org, coming to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.